Well, my kids have kind of outgrown this. My son was never very fond of dolls in the first place. He's much more into Hot Wheels at this point, and my daughter has outgrown the doll stage, with the exception of a few stuffed animals that still make an appearance in her room. But these American Girl dolls are all the rage, and they're still flying off the shelves in spite of the controversy about a month ago that the manufacturer of the American Girl dolls also supports an organization that funnels money to pro-choice organizations. That came as a shock to many of the consumers of American Girl, and here in the first half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play a little piece from the news on the American Girl dolls, how they're doing during the holiday shopping season. CBS Evening News last night carried a segment on this, and we'll play it for you this afternoon. I want to know from you on this American Girl thing. We talked to you about it before, about a month ago. Did you buy one? Knowing what was going on, you've got your granddaughter or your daughter. They're right at that age. Otherwise, the perfect Christmas gift for a little girl. And they are very, very popular. And the people who tend to buy them tend to buy more than one, tend to be pretty loyal to American Girl. Sometimes it's the only dolls they buy. Well, did you buy one this Christmas for your daughter or your granddaughter? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 22nd of December. We've got a very busy day ahead. In addition to hearing the piece from CBS Evening News on American Girl dolls, also we're going to hear from a Palestinian in Bethlehem who is concerned that Christians are leaving and no longer living in the town of Christ's birth. We'll hear from him. And then, coming up in 25 minutes, Dr. Norman Nagel is going to join us here in Studio A. A rare treat. I don't think we've ever done this before on Issues Etc. We're going to start our conversation with him on the birth of Christ, with him simply reading the better part of Luke chapter 2. And then we'll walk through it bit by bit, having Dr. Nagel comment on this very familiar nativity story. That's coming up in 25 minutes on Issues Etc. Our good friend Pastor Joe Fisher is going to join us. You might or might not have heard about this law in Wisconsin where the inmates in prisons, when their pastors visit them, were not able to receive wine when they received the Lord's Supper. Well, Pastor Joe Fisher was involved in a law and a bill that was signed into law Tuesday by Governor Jim Doyle in Wisconsin allowing inmates to receive communion wine. We'll talk to him for about 10 minutes about that. Then in the last 45 minutes of Issues Etc., more of Barbara Walters' special that was aired two nights ago, Heaven, Where Is It? How Do We Get There? We're going to hear a little bit from a Muslim terrorist. We're going to hear a little bit from an atheist. And a little bit more from Pastor Ted Hagger. Do a little compare and contrast there in the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. And of course, I'll want to know what you thought about Barbara Walters' Heaven special. I've received some email on that. Perhaps I'll share some of that when we get to that segment of the program. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, this is a piece from CBS Evening News last night on American Girl dolls and the controversy that has surrounded them. A bit of an update. After we play this piece, I want to hear from you on whether or not you bought an American Girl doll this Christmas season.
Sabrina, is this the doll that you want?
For Christmas this year, little girls want that one, and that one.
No, I want this one.
Oh, this one?
And most of all, this one.
Yeah. American Girl, that's what all the little girls are talking about.
With $379 million in sales last year, the American Girl dolls are just like the little girls who adore them. Wholesome and sweet and rooted in American history.
Coco, look what I have.
They were a huge hit in the Wiesner household.
And they're so much fun to play with, and they seem so real.
And they're really pretty.
Yeah.
Everything that they sold to us seemed very consistent with our values.
That was until the Wiesners found out that the American Girl Company donates money to an organization called Girls, Inc., which offers support to underprivileged girls. Girls, Inc. also endorses Roe v. Wade, the right to abortion, and it promotes acceptance of homosexuality. It's an association that families like the Wiesners are protesting with their wallets.
This year, we're not going to buy any of the products for Christmas.
And some are taking it a step further. The Pro-Life Action League is calling for a boycott of the dolls. Some Catholic schools have canceled American Girl events.
They take a position that I'm 100% against. which would be in telling girls that abortion is a solution for them.
If girls don't dress dogs in pink tutus, who will?
American Girl, which just launched its first ever major ad campaign in its 20-year history, released a statement saying it is profoundly disappointed that certain groups have chosen to misconstrue the company's purely altruistic efforts.
What's your little baby's name?
Little Baby.
Also, Mattel, the maker of the doll, has decided it will not renew its partnership with Girls, Inc., which runs out this year. And next year, we'll find out if that's enough to bring back the American Girl's conservative consumer base. Mika Brzezinski, CBS News, Chicago.
All right, there's the story from CBS Evening News last night on the American Girl doll. A bit of a holiday update. Apparently, it has, to some degree, affected the bottom line of American Girl, their association with Girls, Inc. Did it affect you and the way that you bought for your daughter or your granddaughter this Christmas? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, you watch this piece, and the girls are just absolutely adorable. Some of these girls are at the store dressed like the doll that they're carrying. I've seen the, when my daughter was younger, I've seen the catalogs they send in the mail. You can buy the outfit for your daughter and for the doll and dress them both together exactly alike. And the loyalty, the brand loyalty when it comes to these American Girl dolls is phenomenal. So did it affect your brand loyalty to American Girl if you're one of... We had callers when we talked about this a month ago who said, this is, you know, I bought these things. I was planning on buying these things. Well, did you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And since the story brings it up, the association between Mattel and American Girl runs out this year. Mattel says they plan to not renew that relationship. And the piece asks the question, will that make a difference for those who, like the family and the Wiesner family in the piece, decided this year Christmas wasn't going to be an American Girl Christmas? Will it make a difference for you? Not this Christmas, but as soon as they disassociate themselves from Girls, Inc. and from their promotion of homosexuality and abortion, then we'll start buying them again. I want to hear from you. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Also, as time permits here in this first half hour, we'll hear from a Christian Palestinian who is deeply concerned that Christians are not living in Bethlehem. They are leaving the town of Christ's birth. And he says it has largely to do with the fact that it's almost impossible to live there. It's made impossible to live there. Pastor Joe Fisher will join us. We'll be talking with him about a bill signed into law Tuesday by Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle allowing inmates in prison to receive communion wine. Pastor Joe Fisher actually testified before the legislature there in Wisconsin in favor of that law. And in the last 45 minutes of the program, we're going to be looking over Barbara Walters, what was left of the audio of Barbara Walters' Heaven special coming up in about 20 minutes. Dr. Norman Nagel will be our guest. We'll talk about Luke chapter 2, but first he'll read Luke chapter 2. Speaking of Luke chapter 2, our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is the Shepherd's Christmas Story. It's a children's book, and it is beautifully illustrated. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can pick it up at one of two locations. They're either at the two CPH bookstores, one at 3558 South Jefferson, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The book is called The Shepherd's Christmas Story. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or order it from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for December, The Shepherd's Christmas Story. So, did you buy one? Did you buy an American Girl doll, even aware of the fact that their association, at least for the remainder of this year, with Girls, Inc., at least indirectly links them to a pro-homosexual and a pro-abortion agenda? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Pauline. She calls from Columbia, Illinois. Pauline, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Todd. No, we did not buy American Girl dolls or any of their accessories this year. However, having three girls, this was going to be the year to purchase American Girl dolls for them. Their grandma was going to get them for them. And I told her to please not do that because of them supporting Girls, Inc. And I did call American Girl and voice my huge disappointment in their decision to even have a link to such an organization.
What kind of response did you get to
that?
You
know, they were very kind, and they took my name and phone number down, and they said that they really felt that by supporting the Girls, Inc. organization, they were showing a strong leadership. And I said, you know, I'm very confused. How can you support lesbianism or abortion as a leadership skill? I said, I don't find that as a leadership skill at all in a young woman. So, and she said that they had received many calls, and she said they were logging them. But no, we will not be purchasing American Girl products.
What about next year when their association with Girls, Inc. is terminated?
We would definitely consider that. We would probably consider purchasing from them.
Can I ask you a question? If it's too personal, then just don't answer. But what did Grandma say when you said, Grandma, I know you'd love to, but not this year with American Girl for the kids?
She was disappointed as well. And Grandma said, that's fine. I will not buy them a doll. She was hugely disappointed as well.
Were the kids disappointed? I know
you
it's not Christmas yet, but
they were a little bit. My older daughter, we kind of decided and looked at a doll that was kind of a knockoff from that American Girl brand. She was disappointed, but I tell you what, she's 7 years old, and she knows what happens to a baby during an abortion. And she was, I mean, her mouth flew open and her eyes dropped to the floor, and she said, well, I don't want a doll then, if that's what it's about.
Good. Thank you very much, Pauline. Thank you. See, this is a tough situation. You got these girls who are 7 and 8 years old. I'm trying to think of my daughter at that age. She didn't like American Girl. She was a little more tomboyish than that. But she was, any other thing, you would have said, I know you're expecting this for Christmas, but please don't get your hopes up because we're not going to be doing that this year for Christmas. And then you have to explain why. See, that's what kind of irritates me about the American Girls Association with this Girls, Inc. They are putting mothers and fathers in the position of explaining something to 7 and 8 and 9 year old girls that 7 and 8 and 9 year old girls shouldn't have to know yet. I mean, there's a time in childhood where the quote unquote innocence still hasn't worn off in the way they think about the world. That's a pretty rough way to introduce them to the realities of this fallen world, the people who make their favorite beloved doll. It raises another question. Did you get rid of the dolls you have? I mean, you've already bought one. Did you get rid of one that you already have? What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Did you buy an American doll this year? In spite of their association with Girls, Inc. According to the AP on the West Bank, this Christmas, most of the Christians in the town of Jesus' birth will be from somewhere else. They're going to be tourists. Bethlehem and the rest of the West Bank have seen a steady exodus of Palestinian Christians. Now, you might have never heard of Palestinian Christians, but a fair number of the Palestinians are Christians, and many of them have lived in and around the city of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Let's find out why Christians have been leaving the town of Christ's birth. From Samir Kumsia, he's a Palestinian businessman.
We are now about 2% only. And what we fear is that really, in the few years, we will not. There will be no Christianity here. And the Holy Sepulchre and the Church of Nativity will really be called empty museums.
That's really a concern. It's difficult to understand through his accent, but he's concerned about two holy sites there. They're actually churches. The Holy Sepulchre, that is Christ's tomb, or thought to be the place of Christ's tomb, and the church around the scene of the Nativity will become museums. What does that mean? Christians won't be going to church anymore because there won't be Christians in the town of Jesus' birth. Or the ones that are there will be tourists, and tourists don't tend to stick around long enough to go to church on a regular basis. How often do you hear American evangelicals decrying the plight of Palestinian Christians? I mean, we hear often them decrying the plight of the Israelis. And let's not minimize the violence that is perpetrated by Hezbollah and various other organizations in Palestine. They are completely aiming their violence at Israelis. And that should be decried. But what about the reverse of it? What about Palestinian Christians? And we're not just talking about Palestinians here, Christians, brothers and sisters. Why do you think this is? Well, I can tell you in part why it is. Well, one, I mean, to be charitable, they might be ignorant of the fact that some Palestinians are Christians. They might think they're all Muslims. But two, if you think that Israel and that this land, this property, this piece of geography over there between the Mediterranean and the Jordan is in fact still the promised land, and if you think that the modern state of Israel is the counterpart, the direct counterpart to the Old Testament people of Israel, and if you reject the idea that God's promises made through Abraham are made focused upon Christ and his coming as Israel reduced to one, and instead think that it's all really about a nation of Israel, well, you know, God's chosen people. They drove out the Canaanites in the Old Testament, and they're just doing the same thing right now, even if some of them are in fact Christians. Well, Kumsia says that, and he's this Palestinian businessman, he says that some Muslims in Palestinian territories are trying to force Christians out.
They are targeting Christian land, but it is by a mafia. I cannot claim that this is an adopted policy by the Palestinian Authority.
Now, this is another twist to it. It's not just Israelis who are making life difficult for Palestinians, and then in particular Palestinian Christians. It is also Muslims there who are allowed under the Palestinian Authority. At least this is what Kumsia speculates. He has no proof. He says it's like a mafia, kind of an underground organization that are driving out Palestinian Christians from the place of Christ's birth. Is that what you want if you're going to take a trip over to the Holy Land? Do you want Bethlehem to be Muslim? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you want the churches there that are built over the alleged sites of Christ's birth or Christ's burial to be museums run by Muslims for profit? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This again, Palestinian businessman says that Christian Palestinians are calling out for help in order to stay rooted there in their homeland.
I think the West must support the Christians to remain rooted in the land of Jesus. They must support them by finding jobs and by housing projects. This is very, very important.
Now, I'm going to tread lightly here, but just think about this for a moment. There was a time in Christian history when the church observed that the Muslims had completely taken over all of the holy sites in Palestine. They had turned former Christian churches into mosques, the whole thing. Now, what happened afterwards in time, and I'm greatly simplifying a lot of history, what happened is that the church said, this can't be. These sites belong to the church, to Christians. And we want Christians to be able to visit them. In those days, they wouldn't have called it tourism. They would have called it pilgrimage. We want them to be able to visit them. And thus began the Crusades. I'm not going to say that the Crusades were a good thing, but there was a time when Christians were concerned that these sites remain Christian. And I wonder about American evangelicals who seem unconcerned. They'd rather have Muslims there, I guess, or the Muslims and the Christian Palestinians driven out. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Cindy in South County. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. This is going back to the doll subject,
sure.
Sort of. There are a lot of things. You asked, you know, like if people have a doll, did you get rid of the doll? And there have been things in the past, probably when, you know, my mother dies, I will inherit a whole bunch of Masonic glasses and just things like that. What does one do with things like that? And, I mean, how do you make the decision, you know, do you understand what I'm talking about?
You mean when you say Masonic glasses, you're talking about
glasses, drinking glasses, are
that are actually from the Masonic lodge, the temple, or something?
Yeah, yes. I mean, they weren't used there; they're commemorative, you know. And there's all kinds of stuff because we had family members that were in this for years. I'm talking pictures and huge pictures. I don't mean just individual pictures. I'm talking huge pictures of classes and just there used to be a doorknob. My grandfather had a Masonic doorknob.
Well, okay, let's think of it this way, Cindy, and it's okay. A good question to ask. Now, what you're really asking here is a bit different than the American Girl question, because
okay.
The American Girl question is, you know, you've got a company that manufactures something, and that can be changed. So American Girl is going to, and Mattel are going to disassociate themselves from Girls, Inc., and presumably Christians and pro-lifers will be able to buy American Girl dolls next year with a clear conscience without worrying about where the money is going.
Okay.
That can be changed. What you're talking about here can't be changed. It's past. It's history.
Right.
You can't change the fact that your dad was a Mason.
No.
And what he's going to give to you, maybe, you know, maybe his Masonic ring.
I had one, and we broke it.
Well, when was that? Why did you do that?
Well, we were in the charismatic movement. Okay, and, you know, I know that this, your audience will just flip over this, and you probably will too, but there were things that in our house we purged.
Okay, I understand that. I would have melted it down, by the way, if it were gold. That would have been a better idea.
Tell me about it. I mean, you think this was a diamond. I mean, you know.
But here you're talking about things with a distinctly religious association, and Cindy, I'm going to let you go because our time is short, but I'll finish my answer here. St. Paul's very clear on this. He says an idol is nothing. But if someone cannot get over the fact that, and here he's talking about things offered to idols, cannot get over the fact that something has been offered to idols, then that association should be taken seriously. See, if you had, say, Jewish parents or grandparents, and they left you their menorah, well, that's something used in Jewish celebrations that a Christian really, to tell you the truth, just has no use for. So you dispose of it, or you keep it for sentimental reasons, but if the association with the false teaching is so strong as to cause you qualms of conscience, then don't. You know, in Ephesus, they took all of the idols when Ephesus, there was kind of a mass conversion in Ephesus. Paul was there, and they took all the idols of silver and gold, and they assembled them together, and they destroyed them. Now, did they just throw the gold out into the streets for people to gather up? No, I doubt it. I imagine that someone took possession of all the gold and the silver. What they destroyed was the image that was the idol, and they were still getting in trouble for it from the idol manufacturers. But Paul and the early Christians had to deal with this very thing. The association with the false teaching is that strong, then for the sake of your conscience, don't hold on to it. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
He came not in glory, not to kings and princes. He came in humility to common people. He came to us. These words come from our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, a beautifully illustrated children's book for Christmas called The Shepherd's Christmas Story. This book tells the story of our Savior's birth from the perspective of the shepherds who witnessed it and then witnessed to others of Christ's birth. You can order The Shepherd's Christmas Story from Concordia Publishing House. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Shepherd's Christmas Story. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear this Christian man from Kuwait say Christmas was a wonderful chance to share Christ's love with others. Andre says they'd start off the holidays with singing.
We would go caroling and we would go to a couple of houses that families were aware of about the Christian religion and did not mind us caroling. We would visit the cancer center in Kuwait and sing to the little kids and to deliver a message of Jesus.
There are slightly more than 2 million people in Kuwait, and the few Christians there face many restrictions even in celebrating a holiday, but especially in telling others why they believe in Christ. Pray for them to have courage, hope, and joy so their testimony cuts through political and social barriers. Get information so you can pray effectively for people living without Christ's hope. Visit the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
The Meyer Minute is underwritten by the North St. Louis County Chapter of Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, including Salem Lutheran Church on Parker Road and Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd on Houdershell.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. You don't have to walk too far in your neighborhood to see a home that has been decorated with candles in the windows. That's another expression of the irrepressible Christian nature of this season. Long ago, Roman Catholics in Ireland were forbidden by their English overlords to practice their faith. Such a prohibition doesn't sit very well when the Spirit of God has planted a conviction deep in the heart. Witness this year's holiday versus Christmas controversy. Although faithful Irish families longed to receive Christ's body and blood in Christmas Eve Mass, they could not do that publicly, so they put candles in their windows to signal traveling priests to approach the house, knock, come in, and privately celebrate the Mass. Is the candle burning in your heart for the Christ child to come in? The poet says, "Unbar the gate, fling wide the door. Your heart to God's design restore. Adorn its walls with all things right, with peace and love and joy and light. Your King will then be glad to come and live within you as his home. Our highest praise we bring to God, our Lord and King." I thank you for listening. I'm Dale Meyer.
Well, Christmas is almost here. What do you think? Do you think in 5 years we'll still be wishing each other Merry Christmas, or do you think Christmas will disappear into the fabric of our culture so that it'll be happy holidays the rest of the way? It's on my mind. I'm going to ask Pastor Joe Cox on our Ask the Pastor program next time on the Bible Study for weekday mornings at 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Well, the story of Christ's birth is familiar to all, we might say to all. Its significance and its meaning is the real point, isn't it? I mean, the general outline of the story can be seen if you walk past any nativity scene. You've got your angels, you've got your shepherds, you have Mary, and you have Joseph, and of course, you have the newborn Christ child. We're going to talk about Luke 2 and the birth of Christ here during this half hour of Issues, Etc. with Dr. Norman Nagel. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Nagel is a regular guest. He is professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. We're going to be hearing Dr. Nagel read both the account of Christ's birth from Luke chapter 2, also a bit of Luther on Christ's birth, and then some beautiful Christmas poetry and commentary on the birth of Christ as well. Dr. Nagel, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
Why don't we jump right in with the familiar account from Luke's Gospel of Christ's birth?
"And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to the another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing.
When the Japanese have a Christmas devotional booklet, Mary is a Japanese woman, and her child is a Japanese boy. With that they are confessing that he was born for them too. And now here is how the story of Christmas is told in a recently published thing called the Aussie Bible. How would it sound in Australia? In those days, Caesar Augustus ordered a head count of the whole Roman world. This was the first big tally when Quirinius ran the Syrian branch of the empire, and everyone had to go back to the bit of country where they were born to fill in the forms. So Joseph hiked up from Nazareth in Galilee Shire to Bethlehem in Judah Shire, because this spot in the Mulga was where King David came from, and Joseph's family tree had King David up in the top branches. He went there to fill in the forms and sign the register with his fiancée Mary, who was pretty near 9 months by this time. While they were there, she gave birth to a baby boy. She wrapped him in a bunny rug and tucked him up in a feed trough in a back shed, because the pub was full to bursting. There were some drovers camped out in a paddock nearby, keeping an eye on their mob of sheep that night. Their eyes shot out on stalks when the angel of the Lord zapped into view, and the glory of the Lord filled the air like 1,000 volts of electricity. And the angel said, Stop looking like a bunch of stunned mullets. Let me give you the drum, the good oil. It's top news for the whole crew, everyone, everywhere. Today, in that little town on the hill, a rescuer has been born. He is the promised one, the King, the Lord. And here's how you'll find him. The little nipper is wrapped up in a bunny rug and lying in a food trough. And before you could say, well, I'll be blowed, the whole sky was filled with more angels than you could count, all singing away at the top of their lungs, if angels have lungs, that is. God is great, God is bonzer, and to everyone on this planet who's on God's side, peace and goodwill. And by the way, Happy Christmas, which rather confused the drovers, because they'd never heard of Christmas before. Suddenly, the whole choir had nipped off in the blink of an eye. The drovers said to each other, we'd better make tracks to Bethlehem and have a squiz at what's happened. Check out this message from God. So the lot of them shot off to Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe, who was, sure enough, wrapped in a buddy rug and lying in a food trough. When they had seen that, they told every Tom, Dick, and Harry about what had happened, and everyone who heard the story was blown away by it. But Mary just made a mental note of these things and tucked them away in a corner of her heart. The drovers went back to the paddock, and their mob of sheep, they were so excited and saying what a butler God was, because everything was spot on, just as he had been told. When Dr. Luther was preaching about Christmas, he always made it very on the ground, down to earth, where it really happened. Here, travelling by foot across the land in the middle of winter, is the Mother of God carrying such a load in her body. I imagine she herself had not expected the birth so soon, otherwise she would perhaps have stayed in Nazareth. It happened with her as with other women. Christ could not possibly be more deeply put into what we are, our flesh. And then, on a Christmas Day sermon, this is Dr. Luther preaching. He has power to cast us into hell, and yet he took soul and body like ours. If he were against us, he would not have clothed himself in our flesh. Here God is not to be feared, but loved. And that love brings the joy of which the angel speaks. Satan, on the other hand, brings home to me the majesty and my sin and terrifies me so that I despair. But the angel does not declare that he is in heaven. You shall find, he points out, that he has come to us and put on our flesh and blood. Our joy is not that we ascend on, put on his nature, and boastfully deck ourselves in divinity. Do not be driven to distraction by the majesty, but remain down here and listen unto you, a Saviour. He does not come with horses, but in a stable. Reason, and the way you like to think, would seek up and above. But if you would have this joy, bend yourself down to this place. There you will find that boy given for you, who is your Creator, lying in a manger. I will stay with that boy as he sucks, is washed, and dies. There is no joy but in this boy. Take him away, and you face the majesty which terrifies. I know of no God but this one,
in the manger. Do not let yourself be turned away from this humanity. He is not only a man and a servant, but that person lying in the manger is both man and God, essentially, not separated one from the other, but as born of a virgin. If you separate them, joy is gone. O thou boy lying in the manger, thou art truly God who hast created me, and thou wilt not be wrathful with me, because thou comest to me in this loving way. More loving cannot be imagined. If you would truly love, let him be this way in your heart. The body, I say, is in the bread, but not according to the bread. Who has spoken the words? It is neither according to human reason nor according to the bread, but according to the Lord's words. In hearing the gospel, I hear a human voice, but faith calls it God's words. If you regard the boy according to the flesh, he means nothing to you, but much if this little Jesus is God and Saviour, acknowledged not according to the flesh, but in the flesh. Therefore, do not scorn the boy, but mind the words of the boy, that he is Lord and Saviour.
This is the Christ, our God Most High, who hears your sad and bitter cry. He will himself your Saviour be, from all your sins to set you free.
Another way of telling the story is from a contemporary poet, vigorously clear and crisp. Mary stood in the kitchen, baking a loaf of bread. An angel flew in through the window. "We've a job for you," he said. God wanted a mother for his own son, suddenly saw you there. Mary shook and trembled. "It isn't true what you say." "Don't say that," said the angel. "The baby's on its way." Joseph was in the workshop, planing a piece of wood. "The old man's past it," the neighbours said. "That girl's been up to no good." "And who was that elegant fellow," they said, in that shiny gear? The things they said about Gabriel were hardly fit to hear. Mary never answered. Mary never replied. She kept the information, like the baby, safe inside. It was election winter. They went to vote in town. When Mary found her time had come, the hotels let her down. The baby was born in an annex next to the local pub. At midnight, a delegation turned up from the farmers' club. They talked about an explosion that made a hole in the sky, said they'd been sent to the Lamb and Flag to see God come down from on high. He finished up in the papers. He came to a very bad end. He was charged with bringing the living to life. No man was there, that prisoner's friend. There's only one kind of punishment to fit that kind of crime. They rigged a trial and shot him dead. They were only just in time. Through the town he went walking. He showed them the hole in his head. "Now do you want any loaves?" he cried. "Not today," they said.
He will on you the gifts bestow, prepared by God for all below, that in his kingdom bright and fair you may with us his glory share.
I saw a stable low and very bare, a little child in a manger. The ass said to the ox, Brother, right honored are we twain, who house the babe and the babe's mother against the wind and the rain. The oxen knew him, had him in their care. To men he was a stranger. The safety of the world was lying there, and the world's danger. Herod and Pilate saw the danger. Best get rid of Jesus. Let's keep things under our control, which was more honest than pretending not to do that. Why the need to protect yourself against Jesus? Cut him down, fit him in, sugar him over. Their hearts as well as inns are made of clay.
These are the signs that you shall mark, the swaddling clothes and manger dark. There you will find the infant laid, by whom the heavens and earth were made.
All were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. And a baby slung in a feed box, back in a barn in a Bethlehem slum. A baby's first cry, mixing with the crunch of a mule's teeth on Bethlehem's Christmas corn. All in a barn on a winter night, and a baby there in swaddling clothes on hay. Why does the story never wear out?
Dr. Nagel, before we go on, as our time is near the break here, and we have more on the other side of this break, but not enough time for music. Telling this story in many different ways, you had mentioned the Japanese with making Mary a Japanese girl and Jesus a Japanese baby. Telling this story in many ways, you said, is there a way of confessing that he came also for them? What did you mean by that?
For that was the message of the angels, that he was born to be the Savior for all people. And all people means he's one of us, and deeply into the flesh and blood that each of us is born and grows up in. And that's the Jesus that's for each of us. And so whether it is in Papua New Guinea or in Japan or among the Eskimos, when they think of the birth of the Savior, they see him born as one of them. We know that he was born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. But now here is the fulfillment of that all, of all that was prophesied there, so that whoever, wherever, everywhere, anywhere, one hears of the birth of the Savior, that message would prompt in the heart of each hearer, Amen, yes, for me a Savior. And when we say, for me a Savior, that's faith.
This is what Luther is saying. You quoted that beautiful sermon from Luther where he says, if you would have joy, remain here, down here, and listen unto you, a Savior. He just very briefly quotes the words of the angel there.
Right.
What does he mean when he says, if you separate the two, the God from the boy, then you're left with nothing but the majesty that terrifies?
It is by his becoming one of us that we have a Savior. And so we stay close to that boy. And in another sermon, Dr. Luther said, I know of no other God than the one upon the arms of the Virgin and the cross and upon the altar. There he is for you. Dr. Luther said, aren't we better off even than Mary when our Lord gives into us, as he said, with the bread and wine he gives us his body and his blood. You may know that lovely folk song, Mary, Mary, bake us some bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. And we know how with bread our Lord fed the poor and the hungry, the whole crowd, and how he also uses bread then to give us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Nearer than that, he couldn't imaginably be.
And finally, with only a minute here, Luther ends that little piece from the sermon that you read saying, a more loving way cannot be imagined. And he's talking about the way that Christ came to us in the flesh. With 1 minute.
In a most lowly way. Sometimes people think to be religious, they have to sort of think godly thoughts high and above where we live and where our lives go on. We don't have a Savior any place else but where he has put himself there for us, in our flesh, for us, born among us. And that same Jesus then is there then also for us, giving all his self and his good things as his message of the gospel is delivered to us with all its gifts. And when his name is put upon us at our baptism, and when he gives into us his body and blood, Jesus is not far away, but near, so near as his words going into your ear hole, and his name on the with the water on your head, and his body and blood into your mouth. That's the Savior, not far away, but near.
That's the message as we continue our conversation with Dr. Norman Nagel. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. This last live day of broadcast here on Issues Etc. before the church celebrates the birth of Christ. When we come back from this break, a few more readings from Dr. Norman Nagel along with our celebration of Christmas according to the music of Christmas. And then we're going to be talking with Pastor Joe Fisher. We'll talk about a law that he participated in pushing up in Wisconsin, so that inmates in prison might receive communion wine. We'll have a little bit of open lines to round off the last half hour, 45 minutes of Issues, etc. Stay tuned. More with Dr. Norman Nagel on the birth of Christ after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.